There are many people hoaxing crop circles today, but two artists from Hampshire, England are the only ones who claim to have been making them in the late 70s and 80s. In the early 1990s, Doug Bower and David Chorley told a British paper that they started the phenomenon in 1978, and made every formation found in the next 9 years. But though the media bought the story, the men's claims do not stand up to scrutiny. Here's why Bower and Chorley could not possibly have made all the circles they took credit for, and why hundreds of formations around the world are still left unexplained. 1990 was a big year in circle research, or seriology. The formations in southern England, where most of the world's circles appeared, increased in size and complexity, and researchers made a number of important firsts. Pioneers such as Pat Delgado and Colin Andrews had just published the first books on circles, and John Michell founded the first journal. Meteorologist Terence Meaden also published a book, and organized the world's first circle conference. The phenomenon made news around the world, and was presented as a compelling mystery. Viewed from the ground, real formations had a number of key features that seemed unlikely to occur in circles made by strictly mechanical means. Stocks that were bent at the ground, not broken, and curved with the flow of the lay. Scientists had just discovered that flattened plants had elongated growth nodes that were often blown open from inside, and some plants were also found superficially charred. These features indicated the use of a fierce and quick heat, but there was no evidence of a human presence. No footprints in formations, even on wet and muddy ground, and no paths of trampled crop in the field. Nevertheless, in early September 1991, two artists from Hampshire, England told the London paper Today that they had hoaxed the whole phenomenon by laying crop with wooden boards. Inspired by the famous Australian saucer nest of 1966, Doug Bower said that in 1978, he convinced David Chorley, his drinking buddy, to fake a UFO landing site near Cheesefoot Head, a natural amphitheater in Hampshire. The men said they made at least 10 more that summer, and 25 to 30 a year from then on. All of those before 1987, and many after, though there were other hoaxers making circles then as well. After the boom in seriological research in the early 1990s, they felt that the joke had gone too far, and told Today. The paper had the men create an elaborate insect-like formation in a field of wheat, then invited Delgado to inspect it, as if they'd found it. Soon after Delgado said that he was impressed with his preliminary tests, Bower and Chorley appeared from behind the bushes. That afternoon, they went to Delgado's house, where they were joined by Colin Andrews, and made their case for having invented the crop circle phenomenon. Andrews did not accept their story, but Delgado admitted that he'd been fooled, and stated plainly that the crop circle mystery had been solved. The breaking story was published the next morning, September 9th, while Bower and Chorley made a circle for the cameras, and gave interviews for TV that afternoon.
Well, how on earth intelligent people of that sort, professors, etc., can just walk into a cornfield and see some flattened corn and make all this out of it over the years? I mean, we're astounded as anyone else.
We used to laugh, we used to talk to each other when we're doing this, but all it is flattened corn. If you walk in, you flattened it. The only difference was the shapes.
Today published two more articles in the next 2 days, and newspapers, radio stations, and TV news programs shared the story around the world. It was impossible to miss the news that week. The circles had been debunked. But seriologists disagreed, and there was some debate in the media.
Well, it may be that the hoax is, not that they made the corn circles, but in fact they didn't make the corn circles. We just don't know at this stage whether they can make circles in the way they say or not. One thing, though, is sure, that some of the circles, I think they'd find it very difficult to explain how they did make them.
When Andrews first met the duo at Delgado's house, he asked them how they made the formation pictured on the cover of his book, Circular Evidence, which had a ring of crops laid radially outwards. Although they initially said that they'd made that circle, Andrews claimed that Bower and Chorley just looked at each other in silence, then admitted that they hadn't. However, the Today reporter made no mention of this. Delgado changed his mind on Bauer and Chorley the following day.
I'm waiting for some hard evidence. I want to see them do what they claim they have done in front of me, in front of television cameras, for all the world to see that their claims are untrue.
He and Andrews showed that the duo's demonstration circle was riddled with signs of fakery, including broken stocks and a disheveled floor lay. Seriologists continued to challenge the men's claims in their later media appearances. In a debate with Bauer on BBC Radio 1, George Wingfield, founding member of the Center for Crop Circle Studies, accused the men of lying and revealed that Bauer was known in the circle community since at least the summer of 1987. In a later debate, Wingfield suggested that Bauer and Chorley were hired by the UK government to provide a public resolution to the crop circle mystery. Whether this was true or not, the men's story did afford some resolution, if only in the media. Within a year, the narrative was presented as fact, and those who doubted it were increasingly marginalized. Still, when Bauer presented his case with skeptic Ken Brown at a public meeting in Marlborough in 1993, the audience was very eager to debate.
The evidence is there. I saw it there. I saw.
There is no evidence.
Well,
there is no evidence.
All this, let me call it stuff. All this stuff that you see.
It's not us who conned the world, as the Today headline stated. We fooled the world, yes, but we didn't con them. We conned them out of nothing.
You conned them. You're a vandal. You have maliciously vandalized hundreds of acres of farmers' fields.
Chorley stopped doing interviews in 1992 and died in 96, but Bauer gave sporadic talks and demonstrations into the mid-2000s. He died in 2018. It was a hit with the media, but Bauer and Chorley's story rests on scant and shaky evidence and contradicts a number of known facts. On his website, Men Who Conned the World, Terry Wilson offers an exhaustive debunking of the Bauer and Chorley story. The following analysis owes heavily to his work. Bauer and Chorley gave multiple demonstrations of their circle-making skills in 1991 and 2, and Bauer gave several more alone after that. In all demonstrations, they proved to be crude workmen with highly underdeveloped techniques, and they invariably failed to reproduce the quality of work in genuine circles. Viewed up close, the plants in their creations look nothing like the ones found in real formations. They were broken at the base, not bent, and they had no stretched nodes or burn marks. They were also piled up in bunches and not flattened to the ground, or curved with the flow of the lay. Neither of the men explained how they were able to achieve these effects in their previous circles. Their first public creation, an aborted attempt at an insectogram, had a connecting rod that was misaligned with the centers of the circles. In 1992, a former BBC producer named John McNish watched Bauer and Chorley make a larger formation at East Meon, Hampshire, and said that they made lots of mistakes. Bauer laid the connecting line before the second circle and stopped where he wanted it to meet the circle's outer edge, instead of continuing to the center. Then he simply guessed where to lay the second circle, and started it off-center. The three satellite circles were also misaligned. Rather than measuring the required angles, Bauer simply placed a wooden cross at the center of the large circle, and guessed at where the tips were pointing. Bauer made circles on his own for Schofield's Quest in 1994, then twice for BBC's Countryfile in 1998 and 9. In his second appearance, he attempted to recreate a simple circle found 10 years prior. Apparently confusing the diameter with the radius, Bauer made the circle twice as large as it should have been, then gave up, asking another team of hoaxers on set, including John Lundberg of the Circle Makers, to finish the job.
Well, the big problem is, as you can see, that it's got light. I think what we've got to do is get some help from the next generation. How about it, lads? Are you going to give us a hand?
Finish flattening this.
I'm begging.
Yeah, why not?
I'm exhausted.
The biggest laugh of the century, this is.
In the time it took Bauer to lay a single circle, The hoaxers, all of whom had only learned the craft in the early 1990s, made this complex formation and finished with enough time to help Bauer after they were done. For all of their claimed experience, Bauer and Chorley made a lot of very amateur mistakes and were outperformed by relative rookies. As proof of their past creations, Bauer and Chorley relied heavily on what they alleged were the plans from previous circles. However, only one of the diagrams they showed to journalists matched the corresponding formation, or reflected an awareness of its geometry. Others were crude approximations at best. In this drawing of the quintuplet at Cheesefoot Head, the central circle is much too large, and the peripheral ones too close together. The circles in this sketch don't make an equilateral triangle as they did in the formation at Corhampton. Bauer's painting of the East Meon formation had a much larger central circle, much smaller terminal ones, and an inverted arc on the Indolo figure. Some of Bauer's diagrams appear to be based on aerial photos of pre-existing formations. Bauer's painting of the world's first pictogram in 1990 is off the mark in many ways, but it includes a connection between the smaller circle and the central path. From the ground, it was clear that there was no connection there, but in photos, the tram lines running down the center of the formation make it look as if there were. Why would Bauer have included this illusory connection if he made the formation and knew it wasn't there? Clearly, he was working from a photo of someone else's work. Other evidence seems only to have been contrived for photo ops and talking points, like the strange cutout model of a 1991 insectogram, or Bauer's hoaxing hat, both pictured in Today. Bauer claimed that a ring suspended from his brim helped him keep straight in the field, but the ring would move in whatever direction he turned his head, so looking through it would be no different than simply looking straight ahead. It's telling that no working hoaxers use the same tool, not least because it would be impossible to see through it in the night. The men's only convincing evidence were six photos of a formation previously unknown to seriologists, supposedly taken in 1980, but not unveiled until 1993. Bauer also displayed four new photos that he claimed showed known circles at Westbury that same year. Strangely, the men never once mentioned these photos in their first 2 years in the public eye, and never thought to show them as evidence as they made their case on television. But even if the photos are authentic, they don't prove that the duo actually made the circles they depict. At best, it proves they visited them. Wilson has also shown that Bauer's Westbury photos weren't taken in 1980, and depict a different set of circles in the same field. However one judges the evidence in its favor, Bauer and Chorley's narrative clashes with a number of established facts. First among them is the fact that the circle phenomenon was already at least a century old by 1978. In his book, The Secret History of Crop Circles, Wilson has identified nearly 300 reports of circles before this pivotal year. Though they were not widely publicized, people had been finding and photographing circles in Europe, Australia, and North America throughout the 1960s, and finds made local news. Eventually, the duo and their supporters were forced to acknowledge this, after repeatedly denying that there had been circles in England before their first one in 1978. At the meetings in Marlborough and London, Bauer and Chorley claimed with Brown that he and Chorley started making circles before 1976. After this, however, Bauer went right back to claiming that he began in 1978, but other key supporters, including Brown and Lundberg, continued to insist that the men started more than 2 years earlier. Bauer and Chorley were also wrong about how the circles got the attention of the media. They claimed that the first time they made a circle in the amphitheater at Cheesefoot Head, Delgado found it, and they said that it made the news within 24 hours. However, Delgado has always been clear about visiting his first formation, a triple set, a year later in 1981, and it was 2 weeks after this before the first major media reports. Whatever the true timeline of events, it's clear that the circles were there long before Bauer and Chorley, the men's stories are riddled with other inaccuracies and contradictions. For example, Bauer has repeatedly claimed that he and Chorley made their first circles with an iron bar he took from his studio doors, and once he said he used this bar for the first 2 years. However, when he appeared in the Circle Speak documentary in 2001, Bauer claimed that he made every circle since 1978 with the same wooden board.
That's the one we started with, 1978, that stick.
Doug and his wife Eileen have come up with several different stories to explain how she discovered his hobby, and how she first confronted him about it. The men also gave 6 different reasons for why they decided to come to the media when they did. To explain how he avoided leaving tracks between detached circles of grape shot, Bauer claimed that he simply jumped between them, and later that he pole vaulted, despite the fact that both would have been impossible in most cases. He claimed that he was once hit in the head and knocked unconscious by a frozen chunk of discharge from an airplane toilet, despite the fact that airplanes don't discharge their waste in the air, and that if he'd actually been hit in the head by falling ice, he'd likely have been killed. After critics pointed this out to him, Bauer changed his story to say that the discharge was melted when it hit him. Clearly, not all of these stories can be true. He was lying some of the time, at least. It's clear that most of Bauer and Chorley's knowledge was derived from Delgado and Andrew's Circular Evidence, one of the only books on crop circles available at the time. For example, Bauer said that he made his first circle in 1978, the first formation to appear in the book's catalog, and that it was a single circle, as the book's photo would suggest. However, the accompanying description clearly states that there were 4 satellite circles, and that the farmhand had found a circle there 2 years prior. And yet, Bauer and Chorley maintain that they only started making satellite circles in 1983, as a way of confounding Dr. Meaden. Bauer also claimed that he made the first formation of 1989 in mid-June, while remarking that it was a lull year for circles. Because no books at the time gave detailed coverage of the 1989 season, it would have appeared to laypeople that this was indeed a slow year for circles. However, there were nearly 100 circles in May alone, and at least 3 in June before Bauer's. They just weren't discussed in the news or the popular literature. It's clear that Bauer did not have any inside knowledge of the circles beyond what he gleaned from books, talks, and a little bit of research. Bauer and Chorley were poor circle makers who rested their case on little more than some crudely faked plans and a few unremarkable photos. They also made a staggering number of inaccurate and contradictory statements, and failed to explain how circles had been found before they started making them. Though it's possible that Bauer and Chorley made some of the English circles before 1991, it's clear that they were not the inventors of the phenomenon. This means that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of formations all over the world still left unaccounted for. It's likely that Bauer and Chorley only contrived their story in order to claim a £10,000 prize offered by the Sunday Mirror, for which they were rejected. However, the men confessed to first offering the story to the Daily Mirror, the daily version of the Sunday Mirror, and to collecting £3,000 each from later media appearances. Some seriologists, however, still believe that money may have come from other sources. Despite facing accusations of fraud and conspiracy, Bauer and Chorley stuck to their account of events for the rest of their lives. Whether they were paid shills, fortune seekers, or practical jokers, there's no denying that they successfully conned the world. Hi everyone, if you want to help me make more videos, the best way to do it is to pledge a monthly donation on Patreon. Thanks to everyone who's pledged so far, we couldn't do it without you. Think Anomalous is created by Jason Charbonneau. Music by Josh Chamberlain.